Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words to speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. Many of you ever heard a good news, bad news sort of story? Well, I came across a priest who has a number of those things that he relates to. He says one time the good news was that he baptized 7 people in the river. The bad news is he lost 2 of them to the swift current. The good news is the women's group voted to send him a get well card. The bad news is the vote was 31-30. The bad news is they're going to blacktop the front yard lawn of your house on church property by adding more parking. The good news is church attendance rose dramatically the last 3 weeks. The bad news is you were on vacation. The good news is the youth of your church came to visit you at night at your house. The bad news is they came armed with shaving cream and toilet paper. The good news is the church vestry has agreed to send you to the Holy Land for study. The bad news is they were waiting for war to break out before sending you. I don't know if you've ever had any of those situations, those good news and bad news situations, but there was a man who got a call from his doctor. And the doctor said, "Your test results are in. I've got good news and bad news for you." The guy said, "Well, give me the good news first." The doctor said, "Well, the good news is your test results indicate you have 2 days to live." The guy said, "That's the good news? What could be the bad news?" The doctor said, "Well, the bad news is I forgot to call you yesterday." Well, we are surrounded, of course, with all sorts of bad news. We hear about the economy, the stock market going down, the inflation rate the highest since 1981, the astronomical amount of money we're sending to the Ukraine, the rise in murder rates in many cities, the open borders, which are causing quite a fentanyl drug problem in our country, the hurricane that hit Florida recently, and so on. We long for good news. We as Christians hear Jesus' word in our gospel lesson today when he said, "If you have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it will be done." And so we think to ourselves, well, I have faith. I've been praying. I've been asking God to take care of all these different situations. Why doesn't something seem to be happening? Turn, if you will, in your bulletins to our first lesson from Habakkuk on page 4 of your bulletins and look at verse 2. And Habakkuk asks the question, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save?" Many of us as Christians look at what's going on in our country and around the world, and we kind of wonder, are things really kind of falling apart? We hear about more and more violence happening all over the world and all around us, and we pray for an end to so many of the bad things that we hear on the news, and yet nothing seems to happen. We wonder why God doesn't seem to be listening or answering our prayers for peace or for an end to the division that's around us. Verse 3 wonders, "Why do you make me look at injustice, and why do you tolerate wrongdoing?" We have Capitol rioters that stormed the Capitol, and many of whom are still in prison almost 2 years later and have not received a speedy trial as the Constitution promised. We also have people that entered into the Capitol illegally after that, and yet nothing happened to them. We have a Capitol police officer who shot an unarmed protester, and nothing happened to him, and yet there was a policeman in Washington State that shot a suspect that he thought was armed. It turned out he wasn't, and he was on trial for murder and was ultimately convicted. There were BLM protesters who turned many cities upside down and burned down parts of many cities a while back, and yet none of them were arrested. And yet people that were not even in the vicinity of the Capitol on January 6th have been arrested. A former president's home was invaded by the FBI while the current president was not even investigated for possible crimes related to his son that have come to light in his laptop. when the FBI arrested a father of eight at his home after his lawyer had agreed to turn him in. The father had originally protected his son as he was protesting outside of an abortion clinic. The father was protecting his son from someone who got it right up in his face, and he pushed him away, and evidently that misdemeanor crime turned into a felony with the FBI. And they came and raided his home and arrested him in front of his wife and seven children. And yet the FBI doesn't seem to have any interest in finding those who firebombed so many different pregnancy centers around the country. There seems to be a two-tier justice system in our country, often seemingly based upon politics rather than on true justice. So many are asking the Lord, why do you make us look at injustice, and why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Habakkuk goes on to say, destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. Crime and destruction seem to be getting out of control in many parts of our country. In many cities, the police are not only defunded, but also greatly restricted on what they can do. Many prosecutors are letting out convicted violent criminals without any bail, only to see them reoffend right after that. The law seems to be paralyzed and justice never prevails today, as Habakkuk says it was happening in his day. The wicked hem in the righteous so that the justice is perverted. In verse 5, the Lord answers Habakkuk by saying, and look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if it were told. There are many prophetic voices around our country today that are really hearing the Lord saying that He is going to do something surprising, something amazing, something that we would not expect, that He's going to be, in a sense, causing evil and corruption to be revealed. He's going to be exposing sin and all that is connected with that. Just as God says He would raise up the Babylonians to sweep across the earth and seize dwellings not their own, many are predicting that God will continue to allow evil to flourish for a season. Now, this might serve to call the church back to repentance, to humility, and to more concerted prayer. We certainly don't want to hear all the bad news that seems to be surrounding us. As believers in Christ, we would do well to follow Habakkuk's acknowledgement of who God is. Look at verse 12. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Then Habakkuk says an amazing statement. He said, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Well, if that's the case, why are all these things going on? Well, obviously, this points to the fact that God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God could easily have poured out His wrath and judgment upon the world that rightly deserves it, but because He loves the world so much, He is withholding that for a season. Certainly, God's punishment would be something that we would think He would want to carry out right away. But this also reminds us that God hates evil. He hates sin. He is a holy God. In fact, that's why one who has not had their sins forgiven cannot enter into heaven, because that is in the presence of a holy God. That's why we tell people to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, so that they can have their sins forgiven, so that they can go to heaven, so that they can be in the presence of a holy God. However, if that's the case, Habakkuk continues to wonder, why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? We may not understand why God allows evil to flourish and why there doesn't seem to be any punishment or judgment upon those that are evil. But the promise of Scripture is that there is going to come a day, even though that day may be postponed, but one day there will come a day when judgment is meted out to those who choose the path of unrighteousness. All things will one day be laid bare before Him to whom we must give an account, Scripture says, to the one who cannot tolerate evil. That's what the Lord is talking about in chapter 2, verse 3, when he says, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation waits an appointed time. God's saying that he has a plan, and he is working out that plan right now. Even though true justice has not yet occurred, it will occur at the appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false, he says. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. It seems as though evil is triumphing over the righteous. The anti-God forces are trying to puff themselves up and declare the death of God. God is saying, don't be filled with fear over the rise of evil. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I have made you righteous in Jesus Christ so that you can live by faith in me. As he says, my righteous ones will live by their faithfulness. Turn over, if you will, in your bulletins to page 5 and find Paul's second letter to Timothy. And look at verse 6. Paul says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now you may wonder, what does all that mean? What's that talking about? Well, if you were to turn to Acts chapter 19, Paul tells this story. It says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And listen to this. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. This reminds us that we all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever had hands laid on you and asking the Holy Spirit to come and to fill you, but after the end of our service today, I'm going to be at the front along with the prayer ministers, and if you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you'd like to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, if you'd like to stir up that gift of God within you, then I encourage you to come forward and allow us to pray for you and see what God does as we lay hands on you and ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have a new power to put aside fear. Paul says in verse 7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid or fearful, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. That doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. Look at verse 12. Paul says, that's why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard my spirit, my salvation, my life, that I have entrusted to him until that day either that I die or that Jesus comes back again. We are to guard that gift of salvation, that gift of God that is within us through the Holy Spirit that he has given us. God's saying to us today, be strong in the Lord and in my mighty power. Do not fear, but draw close to me. Bring your concerns to me in prayer and know that I am at work. As God says in Isaiah chapter 43, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. We're going to sing a song in a few moments at communion that is a song of faith. And what I want you to do, I'd like the men to sing the first verse and sing it with great gusto as you lift up your faith and your hearts to the Lord. And then the women, I'd like you to sing the second verse and you lift up your voices with gusto and faith to the Lord as well. And then we'll all come together in verse 3 and sing that final verse as we all lift up our voices and our hearts to the Lord in faith. I want to conclude with the words of our psalm today, which says, take delight in the Lord, and he shall give you your heart's desire. Commit your way to the Lord and put your trust in Him, and He will bring it to pass. He will make your righteousness as clear as the light and your just dealing as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret yourself over the one who prospers, the one who succeeds in evil schemes. Refrain from anger and leave rage alone. Do not fret yourself, it leads only to evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait upon the Lord shall possess the land. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that You have been patient enough with us to allow us to come to Your Son, Jesus Christ, and to receive salvation from Him. You've made it possible for us to have a home in heaven, to have a relationship with You. And yet, Lord, we look around us and we wonder, why do things continue on without seemingly You intervening in these situations? But Lord, Your word reminds us today that You are indeed at work. And Lord, we are called to put our trust in You. We ask that You would give us the strength to do that, that You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit so that we would have the power not only to do away with fear, but to grow in our faith and trust in You. We pray, Lord, that You would use us through the power of the Holy Spirit to not only be witnesses for You in the world around us, but also to be instruments of Your grace and Your glory. We ask, Lord, that You would continue to watch over Your church. Help us to be filled with all power. Help us to be filled with humility and draw us to a deeper level of prayer so that those things that are happening around us may ultimately be brought to a good conclusion. We ask this through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.